hope everybody is well in whatever situation you find yourself today, whether able to get out into the open air, whether in self-isolation, volunteering and connecting with others. We hope and pray that you are well and the Lord blesses you this day as he does through the rest of the week as you live out Christ in whatever situation God would take you and bring you into, and whoever you would connect in with, whether online or whether face to face, or whether you're in hospital, primary health care worker, we are a volunteer, we are our hearts are with you. Today is Mothering Sunday, often referred to as Mother's Day. Don't know if you knew, but actually these two terms have different meanings. In the 16th century, Mothering Sunday was a day when during Lent, this Lent period, people would go back to their mother church. This was either where they'd been baptized, their local parish church, or the nearest cathedral or big church that they were connected with. Later, it also became a day where people who were in domestic service or manual work were given the day off so that they could go to church with their families. Due to their work schedules, this was rarely possible at that time. This has now morphed with Mother's Day, which is from the secular holiday that was started in North America, and morphed into a day where we celebrate mothers, as should be the case. We should celebrate mothers. Today, in our unusual social circumstances, we can celebrate all mothers. The biological ones, the fathers who have become mothers, the grandparents or other family members, children who now take on that role. Also the surrogate mothers who have become a mother to people around them. I am conscious of all the mothers today who will be caring for members of their families and the care professionals who are mothering people in hospitals, hospices and care homes around the UK. And for the mothers who are ill or in the latter part of their lives due to ill health or old age. These mothers need to be celebrated every day and every week. Lindsay shared a picture recently of God being like a mother hen who shelters her chicks under her wings. In the book of Psalms, there are many verses that highlight sheltering under God's wing. This would be a great Bible study if you are in isolation, or if not, take some time to search through the word wing in the book of Psalms. Take some time and look it up. God's desire, and he desires for us to shelter under his wing. His desire is for us to shelter under his wing. And perhaps today, this is needed for some people more than ever. I would encourage us that those who follow the way of Jesus, shelter under his wing. So that we can be people who lead others to find that place of shelter. A healthy mothering relationship is one of support, nurture, love, and accountability. And this is so that people being nurtured can be released at some stage into the world around them and then be catalysts to nurture others. Around the world, life and lifestyles are changing. I believe God wants his people to be those who impact and nurture others and are able to bring life and hope both for today and for eternity. This is not the first time, nor will it be the last significant global change that has occurred, although it may be one of the most major shakings we have seen in our lifetime. Sadly, there have been other significant pandemic events that echo to us from the past and that we can learn from. In these events, followers of Jesus have responded by living out Jesus' words, love your neighbor as yourself. And greater love has no man, no person than this, that he should lay down his or her life for his friends. A gentleman called Lyman writes that during the plague periods in the Roman Empire, Christians made names for themselves for the way they cared for others. Lyman says that historians suggested that a pandemic called the Antonian Plague, which was around the second century, and which people believe might have killed off a quarter of the Roman Empire and possibly 5,000 people dying every day. This led to the spread of Christianity as Christians cared for the sick and offered a practical, spiritual, life understanding, a theological understanding, where plagues and illnesses were not the work of an angry God, but the product of a broken creation in revolt against a loving God. People saw a different way. In another epidemic that came later, this was called the Plague of Cyprian, and it was named after a bishop at the time who used to give accounts of what was happening through this disease. And Christians again came to the forefront. It's believed this disease was probably linked to Ebola, something like that. This period again triggered an explosive growth in Christianity. The sermons, Cyprian's sermons, told of Christians who made huge efforts to care for the sick, the fearful, and the vulnerable. One of Cyprian's fellow bishops described how Christians, heedless of danger, took charge of the sick, attending to their every need, physical, mental, spiritual, financial. A century later, a Roman emperor called Julian complained bitterly that the Galileans, as he called them, cared even for non-Christian sick people. Later church historian Pontanus recounts how Christians ensured that good, followers of Christ, ensured that good was done to all men and women, not merely to the household of faith. A sociologist called Stark, not Tony Stark from the Avengers, but Rodney Stark, claimed that the death rates in cities with Christian communities may have been just half that of other cities. We see this Christian ethic at work in the hospitals and care centers around us. Remember, hospitals come from the word hospital, and that was an old term given to a follower of Christ who used his or her skills and knowledge with plants and medicines that were around them at the day to take care of the sick, the vulnerable. People who follow the way of Christ are called to give them of themselves to those around them. And this is happening today. It involves physical, creative, and financial giving. In our current self-isolation context, how does this occur for you? Are you a frontline care worker? If so, we need to support and pray for you. Are you involved with voluntary support work? We need to pray for you. Are you able to connect with others either through the phone or digitally support and encourage them? Are you able to gather healthy family or friends and meet together, remember Jesus, and support each other? Are you able to check up on your neighbors? All it needs in some cases is a phone call or some way of reaching out to those who are fearful and to say you will walk with them. Be a listening ear. Be someone who speaks life into their life. I have seen, heard, and read several comments on our current situation concerning this coronavirus. And, it's definitely changing our social and economic realities. As I contemplated it for Mother's Day, I believe there was another strand and vein that we need to kind of hold on to. As I contemplated these diverse words that were being said, I sense that God is saying that those who follow the way of Jesus, this is an Acts 2 moment. Let's look at Acts 2. And I'd encourage you all in your own time and space, wherever you are, to read Acts 2 and let the Holy Spirit just speak into your life. It talks about when the Spirit, Holy Spirit, came at Pentecost. This is where it says, and I'll skim through it as I read. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Now they were staying in Jerusalem, God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven. When they heard this sound, a crowd came together in bewilderment because each one heard their own language being spoken. Utterly amazed, they asked, "Aren't these who are speaking Galileans? And how is it that each of us hears them in our own native language? Parthians, Medes, and Elamites, residents of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and the parts of Libya near Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jew and converts to Judaism, Cretans and Arabs. We hear them declaring the wonders of God in our own tongue." Amazed and perplexed, they asked one another, "What does this mean?" Some, however, made fun of them and said, "They have had too much wine." Then Peter stood up with the 11 and raised his voice and addressed the crowd. He said, "Fellow Jews, and all of you who live in Jerusalem, let me explain this to you. Listen carefully to what I say. These people are not drunk, as you suppose. It's only 9 in the morning. No, this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. In the last days, God will pour out my spirit. God says, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see dreams, see visions. And your old men will dream dreams. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days. It says, I'll show you the wonders of heaven. And it says, everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved." Peter calls his fellow Israelites to remember and reflect on Jesus of Nazareth, a man accredited by God by miracles, wonders, and signs, which he did amongst them. They'd seen it. But then he was handed over, and he was died. But on the third day he rose again, and he is ascended to heaven, and he is sitting at the right hand of God. He carried on to tell him that he was confident that this was the outworking of words that had been given in the Old Testament. And he used many other words to warn them, and he pleaded with them, "Save yourselves from this corrupt generation." Before that, he'd said, "This is a promise for you and your children, for all who call the Lord our God. Repent and be baptized, everyone who, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins." Those who accepted his message were baptized, and about 3,000 were added to their number that day. This is the section I sense the Lord is saying. All of Acts 2 comes in, but this is one I think we need to specifically focus on, fellowship of believers, because it didn't just end when 3,000 were added to their number. They then decided to devote themselves to the apostles' teaching, not to the people who Peter and the others were, but to the way of Christ, the way that they taught, the way of Jesus. And then to fellowshipping with each other and with the world and communities that they were around. For the breaking of bread and prayer, remembering Jesus Christ and prayer, praying for folks. And it said everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. This means all the people around were amazed and in awe, not just those who were Christians. Because they sold the property that they had. All the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold property and possessions and gave to anyone who had a need. Anyone who had a need. Not just those who followed the way of Jesus. And still, every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes. So they met in their homes. They met in small groups. The temple courts were often an open-air thing. So they met in open-air courtyards. They met in gardens. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts. They remembered Jesus together and with those that would come into their homes. And they praised God. And they enjoyed the favor of all the people. They praised God. And enjoy the favor of all the people. All the people around looked in and saw these people were something different. And again, the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. As we look at Acts 2, we read about people being filled with the Holy Spirit and stepping beyond their comfort zones and interacting with others from different cultures and backgrounds and social standings. And these people they interacted with were amazed, and the followers of Christ were able to share the good news of Jesus, encourage people that the kingdom of God is greater than the culture that is around them, a culture which is being shaken at the moment. Many came to follow Christ, and they were filled with awe at what God and his people were doing. Miracles were released, and Christ's followers shared generously from their personal resources, both practical and financial, also emotional, their time. People gathered in holy places, in squares, in homes, over meals with family and in small friendship groups. Together they praised the Lord and many came to join them. At Springwater, we have been constantly teaching that a multitude of small acts of grace and love changes people's lives, and we are seeing that in action today. Recently at the church, we heard from Pete and Nikki about the power of praise. Lindsay talked to us about the paradox of the cross, and Stuart spoke of how the Lord is with us in our trials. These sermons, talks are on our website. Check them out in your isolation. If you look back, we can see that over the years and through the many people who have taught at Springwater, God has been speaking to us as a church and equipping and discipling us for such a time as this. In Pentecost, we can see the Holy Spirit coming and falling on people and immediate things happening. We've been fortunate in Springwater over the last 2 years. There's a sense of the Holy Spirit in the building, God's presence here, but He has also been giving us His Spirit wisdom over these years, continually feeding us, discipling us for such a time as this. Today, we are seeing many Christian groups, individuals, and families around the UK facilitating creative ways of supporting vulnerable, fearful, and isolated people. Currently, in Springwater, there are several springs of support emanating from the wider community of church. It's encouraging to see the way the Holy Spirit is connecting people. People are supporting others in person or online or on the phone. They're praying for others. The community of bakers are supporting various people. Ladies from the Ark, women from the Ark, and mums and toddlers and guardians from the Ark have been here, and they want to come up and use the garden, even if they can't come and use the building. And Enid is supporting them. Lou, Lindsay, and others have a food bank that the Sonning Common Primary School asked us to partner with them on. This now connects Christian Community Action and the parish council. At the church, we are trusting God to provide the natural and supernatural and financial resources needed that would enable these springs and others to stream out and bless people over the coming months. Our generosity fund is growing, and there are other ways in which you can donate and give to this church to help us undertake the works, the tasks that God has asked us to step into. As you pray for Springwater and for those you know who are reaching out and supporting people around them, pray that the people and local communities connected with our church would be given abundant opportunities to receive, and we would be given abundant opportunities to share the love of Jesus. Also, that we would press in. We've got to press in to the supernatural through prayer. And there would be opportunities to pray and release miracles that would illustrate the reality of Christ and the kingdom of God in creative and powerful ways that would stand out from the world around us. We would live the natural and supernatural reality of Jesus' life, the way of Jesus. Some people have expressed the judgment of God being rained down, or that we are not to worry, we've battened down the hatches and we'll get through this phase of life as humanity has done with other pandemics. We just make sure we hold on to all the things that we have, not to lose so much, and at the end of it, we'll come out like we were at the beginning. This is a change moment. The judgment of God we can leave to God. Jesus calls us to love others, and Jesus is the veil through which we live and weigh prophecy in words. Jesus came to fulfill the Old Testament law, and Jesus came and showed a new way. Followers of Christ are called to be integrated witnesses to the hope and way of Jesus, highlighting that God will be with us all in the difficulties and problems we face. Christ desires for his followers to live lives so much that they show others that they can be confident that God will intimately walk with them in their natural rhythms of life. God wants people to know that the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit can, will engage practically and in spiritual support, and where needed, release supernatural miracles that will provide for them as they journey through their life challenges. This means the ups and downs of the journey. Sadly, we know people are dying, and God wants us to mourn with those who mourn, but also help people know that there is an eternal hope. Martin Luther in the 15th century stayed behind in Wittenberg, his hometown, to help fight a pandemic, and sadly lost his daughter to the disease. Lindsay and I know people in India who have cared for others and died as a result. We do need to keep the reality of our current situation before us. Sadly for some, this is a life and death moment. For us all, it's a mind-shaking moment. Our hope is in Jesus. Jesus is love and hope. As I look at the life of Jesus, I see him holding leaders or those who say they say things about him to account. Those who followed God, he held them to account. And yet those who were confused, rejected, and fearful, he said, come, my burden is light. And he welcomed people into the kingdom of God without being burdened by the judgment of men and women. I believe the Lord is using this time for those who follow him and the people of the world to reflect and hold our culture and lifestyle accountable. And not just batten down the hatches and let's get through it with as much stuff as we possibly can. This is not something we just hide away from until it's over. This is an opportunity for those who follow the way of Jesus to express his love in clear action, to show that there is this mother hen, if you want, that people can find refuge in. We are alive for such a time as this, and our creativity, wisdom, and finances have been given to us for such a time as this. We know that the evil one seeks to bring deceit, deception, confusion, and destruction. Yet God comes to bring life in all its abundance. Life now and life for eternity. Jesus is the way of life and the light of light. 1 Peter 5, 8-10. John 10:10. Jesus said that I did not come to judge the world but save it. We are also told that all authority has been given to Jesus. John 3, 16-17. Matthew 28-18. In the various places around the world where I and Lindsay have worked, nearly all the people who are in crisis know they're in trouble and that their lives are not what brings life or hope. Remember the story of Jesus that Jesus told about the publican, the tax collector, and the priest in Luke 18, 9 and 14. The priest stands up and said, yeah, it's okay for me. I'm okay, I'm a priest. I'm not like this man down here. But the tax collector, the publican, could come and say, Lord, I'm a sinful man, help me. And Jesus says, the tax collector went home justified before God, as he humbly came before the Lord. God reminds us that people in crisis do not need to have their difficulties pointed out to them to be condemned with judgment. What they do need is to be given hope, the hope that is found in Jesus and the kingdom of God. Through the testimonies of God's people and the counsel of the Holy Spirit, people will see that hope is not just for the current challenges of life, and that they will eventually get through it, but they emphasize that Jesus has opened up a gateway to an eternal hope. This, I believe, is an Acts 2 moment, and it's a challenge for followers of Christ, as it means we have to open up our individual community resources, as they did in Acts 2, time, financial, personal, creative, and emotional wealth, so that we can support and generously engage with those who do not have resources readily available to them, or fearful, wondering, mourning. As in Acts 2, where people brought their integrated resources to the church to use, but they also shared them in their homes and lives with other people. And I know that this can be a difficult and testing time. My family and I have traveled that road for quite some time, in India, the US, and here in the UK. But we've also seen the blessings that have come as we've faced the challenges. So there have been blessings, but we've also faced the challenges. We've seen provision, miracles, and great sadness. God has been in the small things as well as the big. The small, simple little thing, which is very small. Our son wanted a guitar for his birthday, teenage birthday. We didn't have the resources to be able to provide that guitar. The night before his birthday, another Christian that we knew came along and gave him his guitar. And this guy used to play music at various events, and he gave him his electric guitar. That gentleman went on, a guy went on to be a well-known singer. You would know him. He's been in the band. They've been on the Grammys. They've been on TV. Their music's been on films. But God was concerned for this young boy, Joshua, who wanted to meet his need. We have seen babies being healed of HIV. But we also mourned with friends who lost a baby son. God has been in all those situations. This year we may be called individually and as a church to give out of any abundant, practical, financial resources we may have. We have to do it generously and with an open hand. We will all be engaged in life, and sadly, some will be called upon to support those who have been impacted by death. May Jesus be seen in all the scenarios we have placed. At this moment, I believe the Lord is asking individuals to follow the way of Christ, and for church communities and our church to release more and more big and small acts of kindness, grace, generosity, releasing the integrated resources we all have so that we can see the old and new ways of the kingdom emerge into our reality, for the Holy Spirit to lead the blessings into the communities we're part of. It's not about creating new digital ways of doing church, it's about being the church. People will need to change household rhythms to create spaces for others and celebrate Jesus more and invite other people into those celebrations, whether face-to-face or online. We are called to live with a posture of praise and encouragement so that others will be encouraged to praise God. If these are the end days, and we know that only the Lord knows the time of Jesus' coming, then we are to live out the way of Christ. If it's not the end days, then we are still to live out the way of Christ as if it were. We are people who are the church and live out being the church. We don't just do church. Today we are to be a scattered people, and has been the case in many countries. We live Christ out among our neighbors with an expectation and an eagerness that hope, grace, love, provision, wonders, and miracles will flow abundantly to those in need around us. May we all press into the practical and supernatural opportunities that God gives us so that others can shelter under the wings of God, find refuge under those wings, be mothered by God to be able to be released out for others, to bring others in. So others can shelter under his wings and hold on to the hope for today and for eternity. May the Lord on this day do for our mothers who nurture in a myriad of different ways, far more than they could ask or imagine. May the Lord on this day do for us as he leads us into a nurturing, witnessing relationship. Do more than we could ask or imagine. Father, I pray that you would be on all who listen, all who hear these words. Your Holy Spirit would guide and lead us. You would sift them, Father, so to release words that are not helpful to people, but also settle into hearts and minds. Those words that would give encouragement and propel us into places where we would be able to witness, press in to praying for the practical and supernatural, so that people would see the reality of Jesus. Guide and lead us, I pray, and may you be glorified. And help those today who are mourning, those who are working, those who are in hospitals, care centers, people who are ill and sick and worried, families who are concerned. Lord, 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 be with them. Let your Spirit, if you do not have your people there, let your Spirit come and be manifest in those situations. The revelation of the love that you have for all humanity, Father. It be stopped, Father. And I would ask miraculously that through Easter things would be cleared. Just as you rose from the dead, Father. This country, the nations, people would, the disease would go. Big ask. But I know you're a big God. I praise you. In Jesus Christ's name.